is seems to be very extra. As is Vayakel. There's a whole bunch of discussion about things that we've seemingly learned before, knew before. The building of the Mishkan, the dedication of the Mishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan. But we know that there's a very famous Mamari Chazal HaKol Holech Achar HaSof, that everything follows the very end. If the end is good, then the beginning is good. If the end makes sense, then the beginning makes sense. And I want to focus on the very end of the Sefer, end of the Parsha. At the very end of Parshas Pekudei, the Parsha says, it talks about how Klal Yisrael knew the right time to travel, and how Klal Yisrael knew the right time to encamp. And the pasuk says, "Ubei ha'olos ha'anan me'al ha'mishkan," when the Anan would rise from above the Mishkan, "Yisu b'nei Yisrael b'chol ma'aseyim," and they would know it was time to travel. The cloud went up, then it was time to travel. "V'im lo ye'ole ha'anan," if the cloud did not rise up, but rather it hovered around the Mishkan, "then v'lo yisau adayom ha'olos," so they wouldn't travel until the cloud rose. So we all know, when the cloud was up, that means it was time to go. When the cloud was down, then it meant it was time to encamp. And we had no idea when the cloud would go up. We didn't know. We would get up, we would look, is the cloud up? If it is, we got to pack up and leave. If not, we're going to stay put. And then the very last pasuk of the parasha says the following, "Ki anan Hashem ala mishkan yoma." The anan of the Mishkan was there during the day. We know that daytime, the protection, the anani covered, actually took the shape of a cloud. The eish tia lailabo, and at night, it was a pillar of fire. So clearly the pasuk is describing when the cloud was down on the Mishkan, then either it took the form of a cloud or it took the form of fire. And then it says, "Le'enei kol beis Yisrael," before the eyes of all of Bnei Yisrael, "b'chol maseyim," in all of their journeys. There's an obvious problem with this pasuk. What's the obvious problem? Pasuk says, when the cloud was down, or when it was not time to travel, but it was time to encamp, then the form of the anani covered was actually a cloud. When it was time, when it was nighttime, it took the form of fire. And then it says, "Le'enei kol beis Yisrael b'chol maseyim." That's what it looked like whenever they traveled. But when the cloud was there, they weren't traveling. It should have said, "Le'enei kol beis Yisrael b'chol machneim," when they were encamping. The pasuk is describing what the cloud looked like when it was not up, when it was down. Yet it says b'chol maseyim whenever they traveled. It's a good question, right? It's not my question. Rashi talks about it, and Rashi says the following. Rashi says le'enei kol beis Yisrael b'chol maseyim b'chol maso shel yunosim, and any traveling that they did hayah on shorchim b'makom asher yachanu sham. And then Rashi says six very critical words. Makom chaniyason, the place where they camped. Af hu kari maso. That was also called traveling. The place of their chaniyah, the place where Klal Yisrael camped, that was called maseyim. That was called their traveling. Their traveling was partially when they camped. And then Rashi just goes on and brings other examples from the Torah in Parshas Maaseh where the Chumash uses such a lashon. That's Rashi. But we really, really have to understand this Rashi. It's a very important Rashi. Rashi is saying that whenever they stopped, it was considered still as if they were traveling. What does that mean? So many great, great Chazal tell us the following. That this Rashi and this Pasuk is telling us a very important life lesson. The life lesson is very simple. Every single person has a goal in life. Everybody has a goal in life. If you don't have a goal in life, then it's a pretty empty existence. Everyone has a goal. What do they want to do? Everyone has dreams. Everyone has aspirations. Everyone has desires. And each and every one of us in here probably all have different thoughts of what we're going to look like in 20 years from now. What am I going to look like when I'm in my mid-30s? What's my wife going to look like? What are my kids going to look like? What am I going to look like? Not what you're going to physically look like, but what's your family going to look like? I'm sure all of you have thought about that at one point or another. But one thing that everybody in here, I would hope, will agree, is that there's going to be one common denominator between every single one of us, which is every single one of us is going to want to be and has to be an Eved Hashem. An Eved Hashem, by definition, is somebody who at every moment serves God. We think of service of God, we think of it as, well, when we learn, when we daven, when we perform mitzvahs, all of these things are nichlal, are included in the degel, in the banner of being an Eved Hashem. And that's a true statement. But I don't know, I'm not a mind reader, but I don't know how many of you sitting here right now are envisioning yourself in 20 years from now being completely involved in Avodas Hashem. Maybe some of you are. Hopefully some of you will be. But the majority of us won't. The majority of us will be different people. Just like the Shvatim. The Shevet Yisachar, who embodied complete Avodas Hashem, but you had 11 other Shvatim. That they were all under the Degel of Bnei Yisrael. What Rashi is telling us is that for all the moments, whatever your aspirations in life are, whatever you want to be, whatever you want to become, those are all machaneim. Those are all, you're encamping. You're stopping temporarily. A person has to take care of physical needs. A person has to take care of financial needs. So a person decides, how am I going to take care of my financial needs when I have a family? So there are many different options available. How to take care of financial needs. Become a lawyer, I could become a doctor, I could become an accountant, I could become a businessman. Many, many different opportunities available, and they're all good and fine. They're all great. And they're all necessary. But the idea has to be that whatever you're doing in life, whatever you're doing, your sole purpose, your sole goal is to continue that travel towards being an Eved Hashem. My goal when I'm working is that I should be able to be financially sound. So what? So now you're financially sound. What's the next step? Well, the next step is that I could use at least part of my money to be a better Eved Hashem. Support people who are full-time in the field of Avodas Hashem, to make sure my children become Eved Hashem. That is the ultimate goal of every Jew. How we get to that goal is all different and all acceptable. But as long as our goals are the exact same, every person's goal should be, I want to be the best Eved Hashem possible. And Rashi is telling me that if that's my goal, then even the times that I'm not involved, quote-unquote, in Avodas Hashem, when I'm not in the Beis Medrash, and I'm not in Shul, and I'm not in Yeshiva, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at it as if you're on the way, you're still there, you're still doing it. You're going to get to Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, Gevaldig, you spent the whole life learning and doing mitzvahs. I've got to be honest with you, I spent some time. I can't say I spent every moment. There were many things I had to do. It doesn't matter. Because everything you were doing was to keep on that goal, was to keep on that mission of becoming an Eved Hashem. That's what you were doing. That was your life goal. And therefore, every moment that's being used, even outside of that goal, as a means to get to that goal, I'm crediting you as if you did it. And that's what the Torah is telling me. And even when I'm not moving, directly towards the goal. But why did they camp? Why do you think they had to camp? Maybe it's rest, right? It was a long time, 40 years. It was a long time that they had to travel in the midway to get to Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not expect them for 40 years to be traveling without stopping. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're going to periodically stop. You're going to take breaks. You're going to go and set up shop in certain areas. And this will give more stability. That's all good. That's part of your travel. So you traveled for 40 years. Although you were actually moving much less than that. It's an unbelievable lesson that Rashi is telling us. It's an unbelievable opportunity that everybody has to take. So it sounds very simple. It sounds that, okay, so what I do outside of Avodas Hashem is credited as if I'm doing Avodas Hashem. But there's a big condition, just like Klal Yisrael had. When Klal Yisrael stopped, they were still on the same, they didn't lose sight of the goal. The goal was to get to Eretz Yisrael. That was the ultimate mission. I'm going to reach Eretz Yisrael, we're going to settle in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to get a whole bunch of different opportunities now to do mitzvahs that we can't do when we're in the Midbar, and that's our sole goal. The same thing is true with us. Although there are many times, there are many things that take us out of Avodas Hashem, and they're necessary to be done, but what's the goal? What is the goal? Is the outside stuff a means to an end, or is it a means into itself? If it's a means to an end, gewaldig, like we said. But if it's not, so then you don't get the credit. Then it's not part of the journey. You've taken a, you know, you took a detour, which is not leading you on the straight path that you need to get to. Now let's be honest. Let's be honest, okay? Let's be honest for a second. Let's again fast forward our minds 30 years, 20 years down the road. And again, let's all try to imagine for a moment. Some of us have no clue to what we want to do in 20 years from now. Some of us do. So let's just imagine for a moment, we're doing whatever we're supposed to be doing. Let's think of our fathers, let's think of our grandfathers, our uncles, people who we know. And do we honestly think that every moment that a person's on the job, that they're thinking, well, I'm only doing this, so X, Y, Z. I'm only going ahead and balancing somebody's, if I'm an accountant, my sole purpose of helping them balance their budget is that I should be able to go get paid and use the money to help my kids go to school and to provide for my family. Obviously not. Obviously not. When you're on the job, you're on the job. That's not what we mean. What we mean is, when you're not on the job, so then what's the priority? When I'm on the job, I'm on the job. And I got to go ahead and put my full effort into it. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't expect you to be on such a madrega. Maybe there are such people. But the average person is not on such a madrega that every moment that they're doing whatever they're doing, their sole intention is L'shem Shemaim. I don't think you have to say L'shem Yichud before you go to work. Maybe people do. But the real shaila is, what are you doing when you're not on the job? When you're home? When you don't have to go, you know, those rare moments when you have free time, when you're not bogged down by financial needs, by physical needs. So then, what are you doing? So if the answer is, when you're doing, at those times, you're involved in Avodas Hashem, then Hashem says, listen, this is a person that really wants to be involved in Avodas Hashem. Haraya, when he's not involved with everything else, he's actually going to Minyan, he's actually sitting and making a Seder for himself when he has the time. Then it's so clear to me that when he is involved in his daily life, that he's an Eved Hashem, even though he may not be thinking it every moment of the day. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu, if that's the case. But if, when you're not involved in your Avodas Hashem, and if, I'm sorry, in your daily life routine, and at the times when you actually have a break, and you're not really involved in Avodas Hashem, and even the times when you could be involved, you're not. So then Hashem says, listen, there's no way that I could be Dan Lekav Schos, that every moment he's learning is L'Shem Hashem, if when he actually has the time, You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Many people throughout the years, and I'm sure you've had the same question yourself many times, especially when you're maybe in the younger grades, a big taboo that people have is Sunday school. Why do we have Sunday school for? What do we need Sunday school for? Sunday is the day, it's a day off. It's a day to spend with family, it's a day to sleep late, it's a day to relax. So, you know, we have school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Shabbos, you really can't do anything anyway, right? Very limited what you could do. Sunday's the one day that I have. And anytime I hear that, my personal opinion, would be wrong, and I, you know, I'm not saying if I would ever start my own school, I would do the same thing. I'd rather give off on a Wednesday than on a Sunday. I'd rather give off Wednesday. I would never give off Sunday. I would give off Thursday. I'd give off Tuesday. I would never give off on a Sunday. You know why I wouldn't give off on a Sunday? I'll tell you very simply why. Most people who are in school, in yeshiva, one day in their life, they're not going to be on the schedule they're on now. They're not going to be learning 7 days, 6 days a week. They're going to be working. They're going to be in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for us. There's going to be one day a week, Sunday, when most people don't work on Sunday. Right? Some people do, but most people don't. And there's going to be one day where they're open. And that one day could be the most critical day of their week. Because that one day is going to define for them, am I a real Eved Hashem? What I do Monday to Thursday, is that, am I getting credit in Shemayim as being an Eved Hashem or not? What am I doing on my spare time? If Sunday's a day where, listen, I'll sleep till 9 o'clock, go to the latest minyan, I'll go eat breakfast at the, at the pastry oven, I'll go play baseball, I'll come home, and, you know, I'll watch whatever on TV in the afternoon, I'll go to the museums. So then, are you really an Eved Hashem? If that's how you spend your Sundays? If that's how you're spending your Sunday, so what does it say about the rest of the week? You have one day where you really don't have to worry about the old parnasa. Business is closed. Whatever business you are, whether you're a doctor, you don't see patients on Sunday. I'm not saying it's always true, but by and large, that's the reality. So what are you doing on a Sunday? What are you doing? So if we ingrain in a person at a young age, a Sunday's a day off from school, then how's that going to play out 15 years later? Even if I was in school, I wasn't learning on Sunday. So kal vachomer. The argument that Sunday is ridiculous. How could, you know, Sunday, the one day, it's fakir. Will be the one day you should have school. It's the one day you should be learning. To teach you that when you get older, that Sunday is not a day off. It's a day off from your physical activity. It's a day off from your job. It's a day off from your day-to-day schedule. But it's not a day off from being an Eved Hashem. It's the day when you go to a lot of different communities, they're packed with shiurim on Sunday. They're kolim. There's something called a kolel yom rishon. It's the one day where you could actually go ahead and be an Eved Hashem. So you'll say, well, so Sunday I'm busy being an Eved Hashem. Monday to Friday I'm completely busy in my job. Shabbos is the one day I get to relax. But when do I get to have a little fun? When do I get to go ahead and do things with the family? So no one's saying to you that Sunday's not a full day of school, right? Get out at 12. So you have an afternoon. Now, last I checked, most things don't even open till 11 o'clock on Sunday, right? Sunday, everyone gets a late start anyway, because everyone's out late Saturday night. You get home, 12. You have a whole afternoon. So we're not saying that Sunday has to be the day when you're sitting like a Yom Kippur, 9 to 5, in Beis Medrash without moving. Of course, that's not what we're saying. But there has to become a mentality that when you're not tied down to anything else, that your first priority is to be an Eved Hashem, to engross yourself in learning and in doing mitzvahs. And there's so few times that a person can do that without worrying about so many other things. that the lesson of a Sunday is so important. So we're talking about what it means to be an Eved Hashem. We're talking about what it means to understand that life has to have a goal. Everyone has to have a common goal. Everyone has to have their own individual goal, but we have a common goal of being an Eved Hashem. How we get there, it's part of the unique individualism that we all have. And if we stay on the right path and our goals are clear, then we are all Avadim Hashem no matter what. No matter what we do outside the Beis Medrash, Hashem credits us as if we're an Eved Hashem. That leads me to point number two, which I'd like to talk about. What was the need of the Mishkan? There's a big need for the Mishkan. The Torah spends an inordinate amount of time telling us about the Mishkan. More than any other topic in the Torah, Kemat, is the Mishkan. There are four parshios. Truma, Tetzaveh, part of Kisisa even, Vayakel, Pekudei, the whole end of Shmos is dedicated to the building of the Mishkan. Very little in these parshios are dedicated to the service of the Mishkan. That's later. But the building of the Mishkan. Why is that so important? We're never going to build another Mishkan, as far as I know. Right? Be based on Mikdash and Mitzvah Hashem. There's not going to be a Mishkan. The Mishkan was a temporary resting place. Mishkan was a place when we didn't have a Beis HaMikdash, where we could go the old Moed, the place with the tent where we could meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So good, there'll never be another Mishkan. So why does it need so much detail? The uniqueness of how everything was built. The Megadim that the Kohen Gadol wore. Psukim and Psukim and Psukim that are dedicated to it. Why? For what reason? So again, this is not my question. There are many, many Rishonim, Achronim that talk about it. And I'd like to just spend a few minutes talking about one of the reasons why the Torah feels it's so important, how I feel it's so important for today. The Mishkan was up when there was no Beis HaMikdash. If there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was no Mishkan. The Mishkan was up primarily. There was a Mishkan also when we were in Eretz Yisrael, so it's not completely true to say that it's supposed to be the mus of sort of an ir miklat when we're in Galus. But one could say that the Mishkan is an ir miklat. It's a haven. It's a safe haven. When you're in the wilderness, you're in the desert. There's nothing there. There's nothing there to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, build a Mishkan. The Mishkan is the one place you could run into where even though you don't have the Beis HaMikdash, you're not in Eretz Yisrael, but it's a safe haven, it's a safety zone. That's where you could see me, that's where you can feel my presence, even when I don't have a real Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Mishkan is. Now, let's think for a minute. When Klal Yisrael was in the Mishkan, was in the desert, how much could they have been distracted from Avodas Hashem? What's doing in the Mishkan? What's doing in the desert? Has anyone ever here been to the desert? Half of you have been to Marabu, so you've been to the desert, right? You've been to the desert, there's nothing there. There's sand, and that's about it. It's hot. Occasional oasis maybe, right? But there's nothing there. What distractions are there? If you lived in a desert, you would be the biggest Eved Hashem. Right? Rabbi Mendelis must have heard me say Marabu. Right? You'd be the biggest Eved Hashem you could be. Yet, when we were in the desert, Hashem still felt that we needed a Mishkan. Because we can get sidetracked from Avodas Hashem. We can get pulled in to things that would take us away from our goals. So Hashem said, here's a central meeting place. Rabbi said, if it was true in the desert, and if it was true in the times 3,000 years ago, when there was very little distracting us, I want to think about how much more that's true today. Think about it. Think about what's going on outside the Mishkan. And when I say the Mishkan now, I don't mean the actual Mishkan. When I say the Mishkan now, I mean our community. And I don't mean Silver Spring. I mean the Jewish, the Frum, the Torah community. Think about what's going on. Think about what's dominating the headlines. Especially if you're following sports. What's dominating the sports headlines now? You all know what it is. What's dominating the headlines of sports? It's February, right? So, and I, Rabbi Lyman, you know, they used to say February was the deadest sports month, right? January, you got the Super Bowl, although that's now really in February. Then March, you got March Madness, right? In April, you got baseball season. May, June, July, August, September. And you got football, September, October, November, December. All right, so you got, you know, February, you got basketball, you got hockey. You know, everybody makes the playoffs in basketball and hockey, so February is not very exciting either, right? Well, February is dead in a sports way, right? That's why the Olympics are in February now every couple of years. It's not much doing. So what dominates February? Dominates February is something that a good story. So we all know that the last few weeks it's come out that there have been certain athletes that are now playing athletics that have been very, very unique in some of their behavior. Very unique athletes that are playing now. So what's the reaction? Gewalt, this guy is the greatest American since Abraham Lincoln. This guy should be applauded. The president called up the guy and said, Yasher Koyach. You're someone to be, you're a role model. You're someone that's to be celebrated. You're a hero. That's what you hear. Wherever you go, that's what you hear. That's dominating not only the sports, but dominating the news. You realize how corrupt and backwards that is? Do we realize that? Do we realize that this is what Saddam looked like? This was Saddam. That was Saddam. That was basically what Saddam was, amongst other things. That was the Dor HaMabul. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world. Do we realize that? Do we realize how backwards the world is? We celebrate something which for thousands of years, by everybody, was considered to be a toeva. Which is the word, an abomination. That's the word the Torah uses. Toevahi. It's an abomination. That's the word the Torah uses. Doesn't use that word very often. Uses it very, very little. Does not use that word by Chil Shabbos. But here, there we use the word Toeva. So we're living in a world where it's backwards. It's an olam hafuch. It's an upside down world, and we need desperately a mishkan to stay away from it, to realize that it's backwards and upside down. And unfortunately, we don't live in a cocoon. You know what a cocoon is, right? We don't live in a cocoon. We live in a society. And we don't spend all our moments in a base medrash or in a shul. And we spend time outside. And we hear things, we see things that clearly, clearly interfere in our avodas Hashem. But to bring in that language, but to make references to it inside a base medrash, inside a school, inside a yeshiva, and you're taking the outside world, you're ruining the whole point of the base medrash. The whole point of the Mishkan was to get away from the outside world. to bring it in to the Beis HaMedrash, to bring it in to the Mishkan, and you're destroying the Mishkan. And then we have no hope. And we're all destroyed. Because nobody can stand in this type of environment without Neir Mikor. To make references to it, to talk about it, to call other people such a name like that, it is the lowest thing a person can do. It denigrates the whole tachlis of a Mishkan. It would be something that was unthinkable even 10, 20 years ago. Unheard of. And we're a victim of the society. We're a victim of what's acceptable, what's cheered, what's to be elevated, and we sometimes fall victim to that. Say, you know what? That's now acceptable. It's now good. And it's a terrible, terrible thing. It ruins the kedusha of the Mishkan. Imagine the Kohen Gadol walking into the Mishkan on Yom Kippur, but you know, with a chazer. It would ruin the whole thing. The whole Mishkan would become puzzle. So how could we bring that type of tumah into a makom kodesh? How can we utter such words? Forget about when we're out of school. We're here. We're in the Mishkan now. We're protected. If not, we would be no different than the rest of society. Something we really have to think about. We have to understand that what goes on in the outside world today is completely connected every single inch, every facet of what Torah stands for. It has to be that it has to be that we're getting close to Mashiach, because it can't get, you know, they were on the Memtah Shari Tum in Eretz, you know, in Eretz Mitzrayim, they had to get out. I can't imagine we're that far behind. I can't imagine we are. What's acceptable today in the outside culture, what's accepted, what's cheered, what's paraded, is tumah of the highest degree. It wasn't always like that. It wasn't always like that. Doesn't mean that everything that was done was with Torah values, but there were good moral values that everybody could have, Jewish, non-Jewish. But today that gap is becoming so much greater. We have to work hard to keep this a cocoon, to keep it a place where you don't have to worry about the outside world seeping in. Be plenty of time for that when you get older. We have to do our best to keep this makom a mishkan. And I don't just mean this very building. I mean any makom kodesh. It has to be kept that way. And if we do keep it that way, then we'll be zoche to have a real mishkan and a real Beis HaMikdash. And if we remember these two lessons, if we remember that if we keep our eye on our ultimate goal, and anything we do in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're a real Eved Hashem, as long as your goal is the right one, and we're on the right path of always wanting to grow in our service to Hashem. And we facilitate that by keeping our modern day Mishkan, a Makom Kodesh, a holy place, then we'll be zoche, and we will not need the Mishkan anymore, and we'll be zoche to have a real Beis HaMikdash b'Mehirah v'Yomeinu.